Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. Do you experience stress or have anxiety, or maybe chronic pain, or have trouble sleeping at least once a week? Well, you're not alone. Many of us do. Personally, I do go through phases of not sleeping very well and suffer from chronic pain from where I shattered my femur. So I was searching for anything that would help and discovered Feels. What is Feels? It's a premium CBD delivered directly to your door. And what does it do? It naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. So now I kind of sleep a bit better. It's really easy to take. You place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and you feel different within minutes. The thing to remember that it can take a while to find the right dose and everyone's dose is different, so you should leave some room to experiment over the course of a week. But what's really great is that they have a human support hotline, so you can talk to a real human about your experience and have some guidance. And remember, it's quite natural, so it'll help you feel better without any high or hangover or addictions. They also have a nice membership option, which lets you join a community and get Feels delivered to your doorstep every month, and you can save money on every order and pause your subscription. In summary, Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. So you can become a member by going to feels.com/growth, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's F-E-A-L-S, feels.com/growth to become a member and get 50% off automatically from your first order with free shipping. feels.com/growth. Welcome to the show. Today, I'm delighted to have an episode with my cousin, Tom Davis. He is more widely known as GeoWizard on YouTube, where he has 500,000 subscribers and has had a brilliant series of him crossing Wales in a straight line that's had over 8 million people viewing. And it's a brilliant series of one idiot walking in a straight line across an entire country. And he just tells it in a really good way. I've been meaning to get him onto the show for a long time, but we keep on missing each other, and he is quite a reclusive character, and he literally only just got a smartphone. So we talk a lot about technology and how it's affecting humans, as well as YouTube and success, and just mental health and different problems that we've both gone through. And turns out we've got a lot more going on in like similarities than we ever really knew about as kids. And it's just a really interesting episode around life and the things that you miss. And yeah, I kind of can't even explain how much I enjoyed this episode. I was really surprised, and he's a really fascinating individual. So my absolute pleasure to bring you this episode with Tom Davis. It would be nice to hear a bit more about you, like where you came from before getting into being a bit of a YouTuber, I guess.
Well, in the years leading up to when I did this mission across Wales, which kind of propelled me, I wasn't really doing a lot with my life, to be honest. From the age of kind of 18 to that point, I kind of frittered a lot of years away. I had like a string of jobs, not mundane jobs, I wouldn't say, because a job's a job, but you know, I was working in supermarkets and behind bars and stuff, and just hoping that one day I would have success in some form or another, music or adventure or something like that. And then I started doing the GeoGuessr stuff, and that kind of was trundling along, doing all right. And then, yeah, the Wales thing just kind of took off, really.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you said you weren't doing too much with your life, because I mean, I certainly struggled with like traveling and trying to do something useful, but like getting confused and feeling like I'm going in circles and stuff. I remember hearing that you're quitting like your job to go full time with just the GeoGuessing. This is before you'd ever done any adventure things. So how did you like go through that process of like actually, I'm going to go full time on this sort of like silly idea where I just guess places?
You're right. I was just doing the GeoGuessr at the time, but the main reason I quit my job, which I quite liked that job, I was a van driver delivering and picking up things for insurance companies. So I was driving all around the country and I liked that job, but I quit it because I had so much editing to do for the mission across Wales. I'd filmed it 3 months prior and it was such a mammoth task and I was just finding no time to do it. that I was just like, look, I'm just going to have to quit my job. And I'm not sure whether this thing will be a success. So I'm kind of taking a gamble. But if it isn't a success, then I can always go and get another job afterwards if the YouTube doesn't earn me quite as much money as I was hoping. But it was a success and I've been able just about to live off it. It was a lot of work, you know, because it was kind of my first big editing job as well. Even though I'm not an editor.
Yeah, you know. Sort of. You've got like a lot of jokes and like some like fluff and things, but it is actually really well put together. It's constantly telling a story and you kind of, you bought into like what's going to happen next with Tom, and like, it's just really funny. And it's not just sort of, as in you watch some videos of people just stick stuff together and you're like, well, okay, you did it cool, but like, yeah. It's sort of hard to watch, whereas you made it very easy to watch, which is why it's sort of successful.
Yeah, I think I took great care. I went a bit mad with it, really. I'm a big perfectionist with anything that I do. And I've got like hours of footage per day, like 4 hours of footage per day. And I want to keep a lot of that, but you got to kind of keep people hooked. It's tough. You have got to be ruthless sometimes, unfortunately. And you learn to, even if you're a bit perfectionisty and OCD, you learn to just get used to that.
Well, I guess it would be nice to backtrack a bit. So how did you first get to like the 60,000 from like naught, never done a YouTube video to there? Because that's like not an easy task.
I was lucky or opportunistic, a bit of both, in discovering that there weren't that many GeoGuessr videos online. There were, but I couldn't find one that was like a speed run. You're going back to about 2014 now. So GeoGuessr had only been going maybe 2 years. And in those days where I was sort of wasting my days away, I would play a lot of GeoGuessr and I became a bit obsessed with getting a perfect score on the world version in as fast a time as I could. And so I was like, I had a look on YouTube and I couldn't find anyone who had done it in a good time. I think someone had done it in like 3 hours or something. And I was like, okay, here's an opportunity. Maybe I can test to see how many views I could get and maybe gauge it and see if I could keep it going, make a bit of dough whilst doing something I love. And it worked. I got a perfect score in the UK in like 20 minutes or something. And then I did a world one, few views trickling in. And then one day, boom, someone shared it on Reddit. And it had hundreds of thousands of views. So I was lucky in that sense. I didn't have to work too hard for my fan base to grow.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You think that you would have, in hindsight, kind of gone for trying to share it on places like Reddit and sort of game things yourself? Or was it kind of like a good test to just not bother doing that and see if it kind of can go viral because it was just interesting and useful for some people out there?
I've never considered why I didn't share it. I guess, yeah, you're right. It was probably a case of, let's see if someone else shares it subliminally. I'd never thought to share it.
Yeah. Have you since tried sharing other things and kind of creating more audience?
No, not really. Really, people shared the straight line mission on Reddit and that did wonders for it as well. I let things share themselves.
Yeah, nice. Well, I mean, it's a sign that you should just be like working on making stuff that's so good that it's shareable, rather than, I think you should be like asking people to watch or pay attention to you. You should be like so good that people best pay attention anyway. So good they can't ignore you, kind of philosophy. If people aren't watching and it's just not good enough, and you can ignore all your marketing. Interesting. And then, so after you got like those first few hundred K, you're just like, oh, sick, there's an audience and I really like GeoGuessing. So I'm just going to carry on recording every time I play and just upload.
Yeah,
it.
Man. Yeah, I was enjoying that. I was just kind of doing it on the side. When I did that ski season, I stopped doing it for like 6 months, which my fans were kind of bummed about. And then I continued when I got back and it went from strength to strength, really. But by that point, I was really itching to do an adventure as well and start making the channel. I always had this vision of like, well, maybe I can expand into other things, mischievous adventures. I was conscious when I started my thing, like, come on, you got to think of something that's completely different.
Yeah, you really go hit that well with the whole, can I walk across a country in a straight line? It's just constant entertainment, just watching you kind of like walk over hedges and going through like lakes that were like, not even like ponds that are basically, you could easily walk around with like zero effort and you're like, oh, I have to swim through this now.
I know. Yeah, that wasn't very nice. I almost drowned in that. Yeah. That would be the most like pointless death.
So you said you've done quite a few adventures and you did a recent one with a friend who you used to do stuff with. But so what were the kind of things that you used to do when you were younger then?
Oh yeah, Greg. So he's basically my stepbrother, but he's not, because my mom and his dad never got married, but we kind of grew up together. When we got into our teens and we were getting a bit sort of more mischievous and, you know, hunting for something fun to do and something adventurous to do, we would just kind of walk east into the fields, because where my mum lives in Aldridge, if you look out the window, it's just countryside, whereas west, it's just all the West Midlands, you know, horrible urban areas. So we were like, wow, let's just, there was a TV mast in the distance near Tamworth. And we used to go, well, one day specifically, we went, let's walk to that TV mast. And it was just the most exciting idea. I was probably 14, Greg was like 12. So quite probably too young to be going that far. But we were like, let's walk to it, man. We had a fiver in our pockets each and we just walked east. And, you know, we got chased by farmers. We had to wade across streams and rivers, climbed over fences. At one point we were so hungry, we almost took the top tier off a wedding cake in this pub. We didn't do it. It was this country pub in the middle of nowhere and they were kind of setting up for a wedding and we were just that hungry. But we didn't. Okay. So
non-story, but the idea was there.
Non-story, but I'm glad it's a non-story. Anyway, that was one of the most exciting days for me ever, because it was like, see you later, normal life. It felt like we owned the countryside, you know, we were discovering it and we owned it. And then for years after that, we tried to emulate that magic and just went on. We used to start in Lichfield and go north from Lichfield or east from Lichfield until we just discovered all the fields that we possibly could. So basically, I was no stranger to like hopping fences and trespassing and things like that, because we were always respectful when we were on someone's land. We never like damaged anything and we were always respectful to the farmers if we did come across them. So that's what paved the way for, you know, the mission across Wales, because I knew in my head that it was possible to an extent. I wasn't sure whether it was possible to do a whole country in a straight line. I really didn't know, but I was no stranger to that type of thing basically from those days.
Yeah. That's so cool. Kind of wish I'd done that as a child. That's awesome.
It was eventful and a bit naughty. Yeah.
I mean, what did your mum think? How did you get back?
Luckily, my mum kind of was worried about what we were doing. But I think ultimately her and Greg's dad thought, do you know what? They could be doing a lot worse things. They could be on the streets kind of doing God knows what, like drinking and smoking and stuff. So at least they're kind of doing good stuff in a way. Like, I know trespassing isn't good, but at least they're not doing other naughty stuff, which could lead to screwing your life up. So Derek, Greg's dad, used to willingly come and pick us up. And it would be quite funny because we'd ring him and he'd be like, where are you? And we'd be like, we're in Leamington Spa. Can you come and get us? We just like walked, I don't know, Stafford or something, which is, you know, 20 miles away. And he'd be like, oh, for God's sake. But he would come and he'd always tell us, look, I think it's great what you're doing.
That's lovely.
So got a lot to thank Derek for, really.
Well, what would have happened if he just sort of didn't help? Do you think you would have just stopped after the first one if you couldn't get picked up?
That's a good question. I think we would have done it less. We would have definitely done it less. And we would have aimed to get to places where we could get a train back. But that's not as fun. Yeah, it would have been more urban and less countrysidey.
It's hard to really look back in your life and sort of say exactly, but some of these things that sort of spark your decisions can be like quite a sort of small line between what you would have done or not. And so like maybe if you hadn't had the feedback of like him being like, actually, that's pretty cool and helping out, you might like not have done it more.
Yeah, if they'd have frowned upon it, maybe we would have been less bothered. I don't know.
What are the kind of other hard, meaningful things that you might want to do with your life then? Because like the YouTube sounds pretty cool. Is that like your big focus to just grow that now? Because that's kind of what you're working full time on.
For now, my main goal is definitely keep releasing adventures, GeoGuessr as well, but keep releasing good content on my channel, because, you know, it might not last forever. In 5 years' time, I'll probably be yesterday's news. And so, yeah, just keep doing what I love doing. Keep doing these adventures that I love. I'm doing them because I love them first and foremost. So that's my focus at the moment. Music is another big passion of mine and I'm recording an album. And I'm also going to release the soundtrack from the Mission Across Wales as well. That 16-bit kind of game theme kind of music. I love music and that was always my first passion that I wanted to try and make it in. But who knows, maybe my album will gain traction and I can make a name for myself in that field.
Yeah, my current business is kind of about social media and it's sort of causing disconnections and I'm trying to like change that to make you more present and do stuff with people. And like, have you thought of doing more like businessy side things or like being a voice for this sort of stuff as you're on your channel, besides just doing adventures, actually talking about why people should be having more adventures and maybe how they could be like getting away from the Instagram side of just showing off about stuff and being more present?
I've got this idea that I'm going to release a series of videos, mainly because I can't really film much at the moment. One of them was going to be, this is why you should put yourself out of your comfort zone. This is why you should go on adventures and just kind of help people get out of a hole. And maybe people who are a bit lost in life, a bit kind of down and out, no direction. Why not help them? I think that'd be a great thing to do because I've been there. I was in a bit of a rut really when I was in my early 20s, just bumming around, smoking weed and just doing nothing with my days. So, you know, I'd like to help people definitely sort of see the light, if you like. Just put themselves out of their comfort zone, because I do believe that's the best quickfire way for you to just feel alive again and feel proud of yourself and feel like, oh yeah, I do belong on this earth and I can do worthwhile things. Just go on a big, massive adventure and camp out in the rain and be shivering and be like, oh God, this is awful. This is desperate. And then get through it. And then the next day when the sun comes out, you just feel amazing. But I guess it's not for everyone.
There's a lot of people that just need a bit more of a push to realize how good it would be if they kind of did take a bit more adventure, because people are often kind of waiting for sort of validation that they can do something. And you kind of need to learn yourself that you can do things, and having the opportunities to do stuff before you think you're ready is where you like learn the most.
Yeah, you've got to make it happen for yourself for sure, but it's good to have guidance.
Do you think that recording your YouTubes when you are on an adventure takes away a bit from like the natural raw experience, because you're thinking about how can I make this something for my viewers and these kind of things?
Yeah, it does a bit, but I guess I've entwined the two. If I wasn't allowed to film a single thing, I'd still have a good time and it would feel more peaceful for sure. But I think I've got a problem now. Anywhere I go on a holiday or an adventure, I feel like if I don't film anything, then I'm missing.
Yeah, the opportunity.
I don't know. I've got so used to it.
Same from having conversations with people sometimes. If it's really fascinating, I'm like, shit, this should have been a podcast. Why didn't I record this?
I bet.
A bit annoying.
Shit, this should be being filmed. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, set there for what it is. But it's the same for anything really these days with people. Just like, as soon as it gets like slightly interesting, they get their phones out. And
I know, which I hate, because people are losing the ability to tell stories, man. That's one thing, like when you meet your friends in the pub. I've listened to older blokes in the pub, and one thing I noticed was they had a great ability to tell stories and to tell jokes. That's kind of getting lost as a generational thing. Like, you don't hear young lads in pubs say, here's one then for you. An Irishman walk, you know, and so forth. But stories, because you've got a video, like you can just whack out this hilarious video of a woman falling down a trapdoor. And unfortunately, it trumps the story a bit.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's an observation. Because, yeah, I think stories are so important. And like, it's such a skill to develop and useful for like other things. And I don't know, maybe it's a bit like people getting annoyed about kids being able to use calculators to do their maths, and they should be able to do it all just in their heads kind of thing. But like, if you always have a calculator, why do you need to like be able to do it in your head? And if you can always tell a story, like if you have to give a presentation and like be able to use like other stuff, does it make sense? But so like, as a business, you know, it's taken me a very long time to like iron out my vision and get it so I can kind of like hit someone in 60 seconds and hit them with like my vision, so they're like, shit, this is such a cool idea, as opposed to like a weird mess that would take me 10 minutes to try and explain and people still don't really get what it is.
It's an art. It's an absolute art, and there is a way to perfect it. And it's not just the words and the structures of your sentences, it's like the way that you say things, the emphasis that you put on certain things. And I think we should all be striving to really nail that, because that's beautiful. Yeah. You know,
definitely. On that note, have you got a favorite story that you like to tell in the pub to your friends?
Oh man, Sam, you put me on the spot there. I don't know. There are a few. The funniest thing I ever saw, I think, was my mate Dixon. We were in Sutton Park, which is a big park in the West Midlands, lovely place. And there was about 10 of us, and we were about 14, 15, and we were just exploring Sutton Park. It was someone's birthday, and one of us went for a piss in the bush, and the rest of us ran away from him down this path and, you know, through the ferns in the forest. And Dixon, who was a bit clumsy, he was at the back running away. We all hid in the bushes because on the path was a big swamp, and it was like a big stagnant pool of water. It was covered in a layer of green algae. So if you weren't too sharp with your vision, you might just think it was grass. Anyway, we all hid, and Dixon came plowing through, and he just went straight into the swamp, and it just swallowed him up. It was the way that it just swallowed him up, and he was totally submerged. His whole body went underwater or under mud, and he just emerged as this huge swamp creature. And it was just the funniest thing I've ever seen. And we walked home in the baking sun and Dixon was just covered in disgusting, stagnant. He stunk and we didn't stop laughing the whole way home.
That's great.
That's the best thing I can think of, because at the time it was the funniest thing.
Interesting one. Like, some stories are easier to tell to people who kind of know the person, or it's a great story to kind of retell with your friends that are there. Interesting. So I think I'll remember that. I was going to say, actually, because I did my stand-up comedy course and that went really well and I actually super enjoyed it. And it was something I never thought I could do. Just like, seems super scary.
That's a prime example of what we're talking about, isn't it? Putting yourself out your comfort zone. I mean, you're a confident guy, but I bet that was still a scary... I want to do some collabs on my channel when everything gets back to normal. Sort of adventures, like this one idea where it's like there's a pub in the middle and you both have to spin the compass and you go to a point on this circle that surrounds the pub and you both have to like mission your way to the pub through the fields as quick as you can. That's just one idea. I mean, but I want to try and collaborate with other adventurous YouTubers and just to see how they fare at some of these things.
Yeah, I think there's some interesting ones you can do in terms of different transports, and or kind of like some like the Top Gear ones where they just get like a different car, or like Richard Hammond will be like parachuting and then the other one will be like a car trying to go like 2 miles from like this top of this hill or something. And I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, maybe we could like brainstorm some of that some other time.
We will.
Definitely.
For sure, man.
Okay, cool. So I guess you sort of outlined like how you were successful on YouTube. So I've been trying to get some like just sort of success tips with like people that know about stuff, like, okay, what's the best way to run like a YouTube channel and things. Have you got any like specific tips on that besides just make good content and tell a good story?
Sorry to disappoint, but I'm actually really crap the whole nailing YouTube and its algorithms and like doing good thumbnails and titles. I'm getting better at it. That's definitely important. Thumbnails, titles, the combination of the two. But I've always been naff at the whole technology side of things and it's always taken me ages to like catch up. I would just say, make them laugh and just do what you love doing. Think of something original. It's easier said than done, especially as time goes on. Things are getting more saturated, but do what you love doing. Try and come across natural on the camera. Something I've got better at. Just make them feel comfortable, because if you're all edgy, then they'll be and they won't want to watch that. And just work hard. Like, I've worked hard. As I said before, I'm a bit of a perfectionist and I do make blunders quite regularly in some respects. So just like attention to detail, really. And just be conscious of when people might be getting bored, because people have short attention spans these days.
Yeah, super short. So yeah, I think I'm changing my podcast a bit now because of like it was growing really reliably quite easily, but now there's just so many famous people interviewing other famous people that it's a bit hard to like, it's a bit clickbaity more now, and you kind of need to have a real reason to get people to go up, so people aren't going to listen to a long interview with someone they don't know. But if you have like a more specific, okay, this is a YouTuber's, successful YouTuber's 10 minutes on how to be successful at YouTube, it's like, okay, actually I can click that, I know what I'm getting, and it will just give me this information, and like it's a bit easier. So like, I'm probably going to cut this up a bit and have like some specific stories and like things rather than just have like a 1.5 hour long podcast.
Yeah. I think that's the way to go, man. Like these little sound bites, these little, you know, so-and-so's take on smartphones. People might be interested to click on that.
It just takes a lot more effort to like actually bother to go through these things, but it's sort of, it's kind of what required, well, what is required now with the way things are going.
Yeah, well, all it takes is get that little 5-minute bit out, and that 5-minute clip might get you like thousands of views. So,
and it kind of makes sense, really. It's a bit more digestible.
And then you can just link the full, people want to listen to the full thing from that, stick it in the description.
100%. Nice. Have you got any life tips around things besides, I mean, we spoke about adventure a lot and pushing your boundaries. Is there anything that you kind of, if you were to impart wisdom upon people, this would be the one thing they should know?
I think it's hard to ignore the struggle that a lot of people go through today with mental health. And I feel like it's hard to kind of ignore that because I've struggled with that in the past. So I feel quite like there's no bigger struggle than that, you know, depression and things like that. If I wanted to impart any advice, it might not be relevant to everyone, but I think it's relevant to a hell of a lot of a worrying amount of people in today's society. And I think that there is always a way out. of those dark holes you can find yourself in life. And there's, you may not know it at the time, but there's a reason that you're there. There's a reason that you're in that hole. You're not fulfilling your potential, or, I mean, this isn't always the case, but I think with a large number of like young men just kind of lacking in direction and lacking in kind of knowing who they are, and with the right people around you and love from other people, and with the right decisions that you can make and the right attitude, you can claw yourself out of it and do great things and be happy. Because I have been there, and so far so good. I'm all right these days, and if I can teach other people that that's possible, then that's what I'll do. I think that's a very valuable thing.
Cool. That's a really deep and useful thing to be learning. It's a really hard one when it feels like there is no way out. It seems very like all encompassing and you can't imagine what it is. But I guess that's kind of one of the things that you do sort of learn from travel, to speak back to our earlier conversations of sometimes things just go completely wrong and you have no idea how it's going to work out. But after you kind of have these moments where you're like, I think we're going to die, or something's going to go so wrong, and then it does work out, you do get out of the situation, you kind of end up getting home and like everything's fine. You start to kind of get a bit more faith of when everything is shit, that it will not be shit again. You kind of understand that things are just temporary, and you kind of almost enjoy the moment for what it is, of like, wow, this time that I'll tell as a story of how things are so epically shit. And you kind of almost enjoy the fact that things are so shit, and it's kind of cool.
You can ride it out. If you're consciousness is really important. I mean, I'm no bloody Russell Brand kind of spiritual guru yet. The beard's got a few inches to grow yet, but I've definitely learned over the years, very recently really, that being conscious is your ticket out of some really sticky holes in life. I think part of the reason I was depressed when I was kind of sort of 18-19 was like, I just assumed that this is me, this is who I am, and like I'm destined for this. And then when you think like that, you just spiral down and down, and those negative thoughts just continue. But if you're conscious of why you might be feeling that way, and that your emotions are linked to your actions and your feelings and your thoughts, then that's your ticket out. And yeah, it comes with experience, I guess, in life.
Yeah, definitely. Didn't realize, because you sort of alluded to sort of having a hard time earlier, I didn't realize it would have been quite so bad. I feel a bit like I should have known.
At one point, yeah. No, because I haven't even told, I haven't talked about it with my parents.
Yeah. So. Well, but I didn't like, know. But yeah, to be fair, I tend to not tell my mum these kind of things, actually. Just because she worries more.
And yeah,
it's probably
man,
not the thing
worry.
That she's going to go and tell the rest of the family about anyway. Like, oh, so, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't like talking about it because I don't like making a big deal out of it. Really.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've never been one for like the attention and these kind of things.
No.
It seems to make things worse.
Because you've got to offload it to someone. Yeah.
But then that's sort of one of the problems of perhaps like as a guy, you kind of feel like you should be like perfect and that you shouldn't have these problems. You shouldn't be talking about your feelings and these kind of things. But it's often very useful to learn how to do that better. But so how did you, besides having the faith that things would get better, how did you actually get out of your problems?
I think it happened over a long period. I had it quite bad, and then I just sort of like dusted myself off one day and got a job. That was the first job I got, working behind a bar at the Toby Carvery. And I think it's funny because I wasn't even conscious at the time that I was doing it, but I must have made a conscious decision to go in there and be really nice to everyone and just make the best impression possible. Just be really chatty and really exuberant, really nice, because I just figured that's going to put me in good stead and that's the positive way to approach life. And maybe that will come back to me. Maybe I'll get that back and I'll be happy again. But it still went on. Still struggled with it for a few years. Then one day I just realized, I think I was about 23, 24. I realized that it was just this pattern in my head, and that I kind of just captured it there and was like, that's it. It's just come about there. I just noticed it. And I somehow managed to nip them in the bud, and touch wood, I've been able to do that since, just nip those negative patterns in the bud. And that was without ever going to a doctor or anything. I decided that was not the way to go. And then from there, just making decisions like not doing drugs. I've got Verity now. May well have slipped back into some kind of hole without her. She's like a real rock in my life. And yeah, I think that helps, having a companion. Definitely as you get older and older.
I think I could do with one of those in life.
Maybe that's your number one goal.
I did go through phase of being like, should probably focus on this more, because I'm quite happy in my own company, and you kind of learn to maintain yourself and do interesting things. So it's not like at any one point in time it seems like a major issue. But then sort of if you think about your big life, it's like, well, actually, if I could be sharing all of this with someone, that would be so awesome. And it should probably be like my biggest priority. But at any one point in time, it's not like, oh God, I haven't got a girlfriend right now, I need to cry.
Yeah. And you shouldn't worry about it too much. You should let it happen, I guess. But I wouldn't want to grow old without a companion or ultimately without kids. I think that's going to be an important thing that's going to keep me happy. I mean, everyone's different. Some people just don't want kids, but I think it's quite sad these days. A lot of people don't think they want kids. And then they get to like the late 30s, 40s, especially women who have got more of body clock in that sense. And then they get into their 40s and they're like, oh shit, actually, I'm going to die alone. I'm going to be kind of lonely now. I think you've just got to dive into it. You know, much like a lot of things that scare you, dive into it and see what happens. Get up the duff. No, I'm joking.
Good. Well, on that note, boom.
Terrible advice. Yeah, yeah. The worst advice.
No, that's cool. The last few questions that I have are, what is one of your earliest memories?
I do have memories of when I lived in Oxford and I moved from there when I was 3. If you want my earliest memory, it's me throwing the cement mixer off the back of a toy lorry over next door's fence in Oxford. So I would have been 3. So that's my, I don't remember anything else from that garden. So that's my earliest. Wow.
Do you know
memory,
why you
I
were
guess.
Doing this? Just to annoy someone or?
I think I just had it with this toy and I was just like, do you know what? Mix off.
Wow. There we go.
I don't know.
It's kind of funny, the weird stuff we remember. Amazing.
I know. It's mad, isn't it?
Cool. Glad I asked. What's a recent kind thing that just sort of made you, oh, that's really nice.
I know there's ones.
Mm.
Jerry, this guy who let us sleep in his camper van, even though we were two smelly blokes walking down the road, and he knew it was about to rain. And he was like, you can sleep in my camper van if you want. I mean, that's so generous. Like, not many people that I've met would do that. Yeah, there was quite a few in that trip. People just going out of their way for us. And I've got a theory that it's people who don't live in cities are more likely to be super generous. People who have more of a traditional lifestyle, because they've only got sort of a handful of people that they see from a day-to-day basis. And they're constantly helping each other out and doing things for each other.
You're much more used to just being nice to people. And like in cities, you're just used to ignoring people.
Yeah, which makes sense, because everyone's just trying to like make ends meet and just get their shopping,
yeah,
go
yeah.
to
you
work.
You can't practically like, sort of try and make friends with everyone that you meet. And like if every person asks for help, which yeah. is always a homeless person that like you let into your house, you'd probably have a bit of a problem with your house. And so, yeah, you yeah. kind of need to have these exactly. filters on. And anyone that comes up, it looks like they need a place to stay, is probably like a, oh no, avoid sort of scenario.
Exactly. Even giving £1 to every homeless person, you'd have no money left. So even giving so much as £1 to a homeless person is like, people are very, I will be the first to admit, I'm used to not doing that, which is bad really, but that's just like city life, isn't it? There's a lot of homeless people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
True. Well, that's a whole other conversation that we don't have time for right now, but
thank God. No.
Yeah,
no.
Anyway.
We've had some good chats.
Yeah. So it's been interesting. Great to finally make time to actually have a conversation with you. Don't know why we didn't do this.
A very deep conversation. Mm. Yeah.
It's been fascinating. Well,
it's been great, man. I've really enjoyed it.
Thanks so much.
I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. My goal for this podcast is to help make people happier and wiser. And I'm also working on a few other projects in the podcasting space to achieve the same thing. I run the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast with a friend, where we read and discuss a great non-fiction book a week. We talk about things like philosophy, psychology, the economy, self-improvement, and business. Books such as The Black Swan, Anti-Fragile, Invisible Women, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a great resource. Most recently, I've been building an app, Syncify. It's really to level up your podcast experience. You can connect with your friends in the app and listen to the same things. So you can listen live in real time with each other or create shared playlists and catch up at your own pace. You learn so much more by discussing ideas with friends. It's really silly to listen alone. You can also discover and share brilliant episodes with ease without having to try and
recommend podcasts in different apps and just it all getting lost and confused. So it's also good for combating isolation and mental health. I personally find social media quite antisocial, and I just don't find it easy to reach out to friends to chat for no real reason. But I do love doing things with other people, and listening to the same content means that I can naturally talk about the same things, and it just gives me that friend time without going out of my way. So I really hope that it can help you, and I just would love you to try out the beta version and help us build this. And obviously, do invite your friends. It's all about friends. So you can find out more about Syncify app by going to syncifyapp.com. Thanks for listening.
Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.